Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, let's go Buffalo. Let's go Sal Capaccio joining us on the West Hur Hotline. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away. We've got Zach Jones handling the studio end of things. Sal, good afternoon. How are you?
Pretty good, Bulldog. How are you doing?
I am just great. I'm just great. Hey, I want to pick up the last segment. Guy called. And I haven't heard a lot of this. I don't know how much you've heard on the extra point and your other, you know, appearances around different day parts. But, like, the Beckham idea hasn't been met with much pushback, and I just got some. You know, injured a lot, money, we've got good guys already. I don't know. It's tough to me when you mention a rookie and Jake Kumerow as reasons to not. I like Shakir a lot, but What's the case against Beckham? Is there anything to be worried about? I used to really be scared of him as a player because I thought he was kind of a me guy and there was a lot of flash and not enough production to go along with all the hype. But that has kind of subsided since he left Cleveland to me, and I became a fan of this idea even last season, Sal. What's the downside on Beckham? Is there a reason to not do it?
I think most of the reasons not to do it have come more internally from Bills fans that I've talked to. Well, do you really need him? Like, who are you taking snaps away from? I don't want him on the field over Gabe Davis. You know what I mean? Something like that. I think that's really, or even Isaiah McKenzie. Like, to me, that's been more of the pushback from Bills fans. And then I would say, well, there's no guarantee though everybody stays healthy for 17 games, right? Part of the reason you do this is if you were to do it, that you're loading up and keeping the cupboard really stocked, because as the season goes on, you're going to need more people. I mean, you just, injuries are part of the game. It's going to happen. You'd love if everybody stayed healthy. That's part of it. You have more options, essentially. As far as him being a player, I think that there is risk, but it's so minimal because you could just get out of it if you did something like this. Now, I think with that comes the money, right? I mean, how much money are you committing to a guy where if he does come in and he isn't as healthy as you want, the risk would be, how healthy is he truly recovering? Right. And, you know, can he play at the same level because of that? He might be healthy, but not quite to the level in the same player. And if that's the case, then you have to determine, well, how much did you pay him? Was it worth it? Could you have maybe strengthened the team in another area? I think that's what you'd have to kind of think about. But to me, I think any pushback that I've heard is more of the, well, I like the guys we have kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really like Odell Beckham.
Right. I like the guys they have too. And I get, like, you know, we get like McKenzie's a really great story, right? I mean, waivers, he dates back the farthest here with Josh Allen. He's never really had a regular role on offense, but he's here. And, like, fans, I think it's easy to get attached to a guy like that. And I'm not saying I'm not susceptible to that, right? You're kind of rooting for the guy to get his shot. And, you know, he got it last year against New England and produced, and then it was right back to the bench. So I'm here for that story, but I'm also here for having a super high-caliber replacement if it goes wrong. I mean, I don't know. I mentioned to you yesterday, McKenzie's never played this many snaps, you know? Same with Gabe Davis. So I want to have as much in the arsenal as I can have.
Yeah, I think part of the other part of the downside, if you will, if you want to put it that way, is, you know, I think there's always the thought of, well, what happens if it just doesn't go great? Like, he's Odell Beckham, right? He draws a lot of attention, and I don't mean from defensive backs. I mean from media, from fans, and, you know, eyeballs. And, you know, he's been he's out there and he gets fined for wearing certain, you know, jewelry right. or your shoes and stuff like that. I mean, that's, as we all know, that's not what the Bills are about, right?
Right.
And, like, first of all, you have to kind of fit him into that. Like, if you're going to bring him in, hey, man, like, this is how we operate. Are you going to do this? Are you going to be able to fit into our locker room and our culture and what we're all about? And if he's on board with that, then that's fine. But let's just go back to the Kansas City game last year, the game the Bills lost in the playoffs. Do you remember how many targets Stephon Diggs had? He had six, and he caught three passes. He caught three passes for 7 yards. Now, after the game, he was like, dude, why would I care when Gabe Davis is going off? Right? Like, right. he basically didn't care. He understood. I think the question would be, does Odell have that same mindset when he's on the team and he's getting three catches for 7 yards and a loss?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's part of the unknown that you have to think about. From everything I've heard in Cleveland, it wasn't that he necessarily hated Baker Mayfield or anything like that. I think now that we were removed from the story, from what I've heard is they just couldn't get on the same page. They just weren't
right.
there. And to me, that's partly because maybe Baker felt a need to throw it to him and force it to him. That was a thing a couple of years ago, if you remember, that actually mm-hmm. became yep. a thing. And I wonder if that's a part of the reason why you step back on it and you say, does this fit what we're doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I recognize there's all that. I feel like the wristwatch fines and, like, there was visor stuff probably,
yeah.
I think, if I remember right. Like, I just feel like that's all in the past. Now, I don't have to be right about that, but I feel like that's maturity, and I also think that's the Cleveland Browns. And he went to the Rams and saw how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think a guy at his stage of his career, I think probably looking for one more big payday here, right? Just come in here, prove that you can do it and fly straight and help a team win again. Then he cashes in and everyone wins. I would expect him to not be a problem. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone else on the team wouldn't get their nose out of joint because somebody else is getting attention or getting fed. But I just feel like the Bills are a strong enough team culturally that they can handle this. And if he doesn't fit in, they'll just carve him out and leave him on the side of the road.
And isn't that kind of what they've promoted themselves as building, right? Like, they've
yeah.
built this room. They've built this culture. And I don't know if the Bills would be scared away by it. I think for the Bills, if I put myself in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott's seat right now and say, what would they think? Of course they would think about all that. But I think more than anything, they would probably feel confident, actually. They'd probably feel confident
yep.
and say, we could do this. Like, we can bring guys in here. We have such a strong room. If it doesn't work out, whatever. Like, we'll move on from that. I don't think that's actually the issue, even though I think they would investigate that to make sure. I think more of the issue would be, what are we getting for the price we're getting it for? And when is he going to be ready? And mm-hmm. like, what does that look like on a weekly basis for us? Is it worth it for us to go down that road, given what we have right now, and then the decisions we'd have to make and the money we're investing in it?
How in depth, like, how sure of that would they be able to be, right? I mean,
that's
the player
right.
has to pass a physical. Like, they could bring him in and work him out, right? I mean, all that, like, it would be hard for me to foresee a scenario where they get misled about his health if they can check him out.
I think that's the reason why you would do it early enough. Like, people say, well, why would you sign him so early? And, you know, of course, and why would he want to do it early? Maybe that's what you do. You go to him and say, look, if we're going to do this, we got to do it now, like, whatever it is, September, not necessarily on August 17th, because we want to get you in here so we can have our doctors look at you. We're going to have, so we can have you under our watch as you rehab and you train. And then they can really get a feel for that. I don't know if it benefits the team to wait until late October and then say, hey, this may be something we're going to do because we saw on Instagram that he's posting workout videos.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't think they want to do that. I think the team would like to do it sooner rather than later. Any team, not just the Bills, because you get a better idea of that and then you can formulate a plan for him.
Right. I wonder, we talked about this last week. I don't know if you were a part of the conversation or not, but from the player's standpoint, whether or not, like, how appetizing an idea that is. Because, yes, we know what the Bills and every other contending team look like now. We know what the Vegas odds are. But still a long way between now and Thanksgiving, right? And if you're talking about adding Beckham for the back half of the season, he wants to go to a contender. And signing now, I mean, I know the Bills probably will be a contender. I think it would be stunning if they're not. But you never know. Right. So I wonder if the player, I wonder if Beckham would be open to signing early to afford himself all of that. Like, a lot of that stuff might be appealing to him. Maybe it wouldn't be. I don't know. You know, having to train under the watchful eye of Bill's, you know, trainers and doctors and whatnot. But I think mostly it's the best way he can avoid ending up in a place where something goes wrong, right? And so for him, like, it would make sense to me if he waited until, well, as long as he can, I guess.
Probably, but teams could just say, look, we're not, like, we won't do that. Like, right. I think that's what it comes out. The team might, it's really got to be kind of a mutual benefit kind of thing.
If we're going to do this, we're doing it now.
Right, we're going to do it, doing it now. If not, then we're not interested in you, and we'll find somebody else if we get in a pinch this year.
Right, right. Sal Capaccio on the West Hare Hotline with us here on WGR. So how about the contract, the safety contract for Derwin James? I mean, another big name, again, a younger player, second contract, but it's at the position where, of course, we're watching the Bills and Poyer. And I wonder, Sal, I was talking to Brad Spielberger in the 4 o'clock hour from PFF, and he's their salary cap guy. And he sounds similar to, like, how I would say Mike has sounded all year. Well, if the ask is moderate, they can figure it out and give him some more guaranteed money and pad things and all this. And I'm over here going, but what if he wants to be paid like one of the top safeties in the game off an all-pro season? Then what? And I don't know, man. I'm starting to wonder about play out the year being maybe an outcome here.
I think we're trending more towards that right now. I think that the fact that this has gone on this long and they've already given money to Stephon Diggs and they've been at camp now and his agent was there and we're already here on August 17th. I think we're trending more towards that this goes into this year and maybe at the end of the year, and then we'll see. You want to stay in Buffalo? Maybe at the end of the year they come to a mutual agreement to bring him back for one more year or a 2-year deal. I get the feeling now, though, that we're in a position and they're in a position where they're going to play this out. They're going to wait it out. And it doesn't seem like there's any rush to get anything done. And obviously we know that he would like to. I mean, that's been made quite clear. But the fact that he's here, he isn't holding out. He's not a distraction. I think gets us more to, okay, well, then we have time here and we're going to see. And maybe Brandon Bean feels like he has young safeties that aren't going to cost nearly as much, obviously. And they can take that risk and say, maybe, you know, next year we're just going to roll with Micah Hyde and, well, actually, Jaquan Johnson's in last year of his deal, by the way, interestingly enough. But, you know, bring him back for a light deal or whoever that is, if that's Josh Thomas or Damar Hamlin, right? I mean, like, that maybe that sounds more appealing to the Bills at this point than paying Jordan Poyer top 5 safety money and say, but you know what? We're willing to kind of see where that goes. We know he wants to be here. I think that's the point of it too, right? If you do wait it out, sure. Like, you, let's say he has an incredible year, even better than last year. Now you're sitting there going, okay, we should have signed the guy, and maybe he has a lot more suitors. But he's also kind of made it clear he wants to stay in Buffalo. So I think from that standpoint, you're like, we can kind of wait this out and slow play it as well.
It's tough. It's so tough, right? I mean, can't you see in almost every example now, but especially, I mean, this one pertains to the Bills, the team that we care the most about, why players handle things the way they do sometimes. And I know fans end up, you know, they end up on the wrong side of fans, and maybe that's a decent enough reason not to do it. Your loyalty to your teammates, like Poyer has talked about and shown through his actions here. But, man, I understand why guys hold in or hold out when you see a situation like this, because, you know, if your employer knows you don't want to leave, where's your leverage, right? Like, how is Poyer supposed to really get what he wants? Is he just, he wants to look across the table at Brandon Bean and go, I'm awesome. You should pay me like this guy. And if the team is going, well, yeah, but you're 31 and I've got 2 other guys behind you that I kind of like that cost a tenth of what you're going to cost. Like, it's just, it's tough, but man, when the player is cooperative, as Poyer has been, I don't think it ultimately helps them.
I agree with that. Business-wise, it does not. But they also, and you know, I've said this a lot, like, knowing Jordan Poyer, I just don't think he wants to be that guy either. And yeah, I mean, what do you want to say? Nice guys finish last, right? In this case, nice guys aren't going to necessarily get what they want in the end, maybe, you know, and You know, guys get paid, and we know that, look, Stephon Diggs got his money 2 years before his contract runs out. The Bills got ahead of that a little bit. And they just haven't been eager, it seems, to do that in this situation. And I think that's why I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, look at the situation in Cincinnati. Jesse Bates, you know, he's still unsigned. And he's playing on a $12.9, almost $13 million tag, basically. He got tagged. And, you know, you wonder, even that, he's 25 years old. He's looking for more. I mean, the landscape of safeties is kind of exploding right now. And I don't know if the Bills really are interested in doing that for a 31-year-old safety, unfortunately, as much as they love him and he wants to be here.
Especially with decisions to make at linebacker and tight end. And, like, you just start going down the list. I mean, this has all been in the window the whole time to me. So, yeah, like, I'm not, by sounding the way I sound, like predicting some messy outcome here. I just feel bad. I feel bad for Poyer. I think he's earned a raise, but I don't know that it's really as readily available to him as he might have hoped. And that's tough, you know, because he matters a lot to that team on the field. And I guess I want to say off too, right, as a leader on the team.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, you know, we talk all the time, Sal, like, guys notice who gets paid, gets paid and who doesn't. And I wonder if this has how much, if at all, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are weighing that part of this as they sort of wade through this when they get calls, assuming they do, from Drew Rosenhaus from time to time, checking in on how it's going.
I'm sure it's a part of it. And, you know, Micah's 32. You know, he's a year older, and he's still got another year left after this year. And, you know, I mean, at this point, considering how this has played out, do we expect anything to happen in that regard? I would say no, right? I mean, you may be looking at literally one of them playing out a year, and then we'll see. And then the next one playing out a year, and then we'll see. And as much as these guys are fan favorites, as much as they're terrific players, this is the downside of what happens when you have really good teams with really good stars and players, because eventually the roster turns over in a lot of different ways.
Right. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline with us. The Bills were on the practice field again today. They're getting ready for preseason game number 2 against the Denver Broncos on Saturday afternoon. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff Saturday, right?
Early. It is, so, yeah, kids' day.
All right, good deal. Get warmed up for 1 o'clock, even though it's a Saturday, not a Sunday, and there's not that many 1 o'clock Sundays anymore because the Bills are so good. Sal, I spent some time today talking about Shakir as someone. I mean, I was so impressed with what he did on Saturday. I think a lot of people were. It's hard not to be. I mean, he caught every ball thrown at him. He was open and available for his quarterback to give him plenty of room to make those throws. I wonder if – how I said it earlier was, I feel like this year is going to begin, and he, to me, has the look, and a lot of this is the scouting reports that I think have been accurate so far from what people have seen at camp and also in the game on Saturday, that once the games begin, the Bills are just going to be watching film, and the coaches are all going to be like, we just got to get him on the field more.
Who's that? Who are we talking about? Shakir?
Shakir, yeah. I feel like, is going to be a guy that's going to be hard for them to keep off the field.
I agree 100%. And there's ways to get him on the field besides just playing the traditional role of wide receiver. Yep. I mean, he can be a punt returner. He could be the gadget player that, you know, Isaiah McKenzie was, even though he's not the speed guy of Isaiah McKenzie. That's how Boise State used him. They use him in a lot of different ways. They lined him up in the backfield sometimes. He got, you know, short passes. He went down the field and caught passes. I agree with you. I think Khalil Shakir, the way I've described it is, I don't know if Khalil Shakir will ever have, like, eye-popping numbers, but I think he's going to play a long time in the NFL, having a really good career. And there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, because I think that those kinds of players everybody needs. Just, you know, guys that you can be super reliable for you. You can rely on every day to kind of do exactly what you expect them to do. You can put them in different situations. And, you know, they're always going to be kind of the steady guy for you at every week in and week out. So I agree with you that they're going to have to figure out a way to get him on the field, but I think there are ways to get him on the field, even with the guys ahead of him on the depth chart, basically.
So someone who didn't get a lot of love from this show, at least from me, and I know this because I think I'm about to say his name on the radio for the first time, is seventh-round linebacker Baylen Specter. Other players, you know, we talked about Benford and Elam, the corners, and Shakir and Hodgins and their contributions on offense. And even Terrell Bernard with the big scoop and score off of the sack by Boogie Basham. But Baylen Specter looked like kind of a tackling machine there. And I'm just curious, like, what – it's not a player that we've talked about. Seventh-round pick, you know, linebacker. I feel like that's a long shot to make the roster. But he seemed to impress people on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I mean, you never want to lose a draft pick. So if you release him at the end of camp, he goes on waivers and anybody can take him. And he was a draft pick. And that's not something you want. But the path to the roster is not easy. To me, you have Edmonds, Milano, Dodson, and Bernard. Those are your top four linebackers. And maybe Bernard over Dodson, right? But, I mean, those are your top four guys. I think Tyler Matakevich is pretty entrenched as a special teams guy. Now, who knows? I mean, they could save a little money by moving on from him, but he's one of the better special teams players in the league over the last several years. He led the league, I think over the last 5 years, Tyler Matakevich has actually led the league in special teams tackles. I mean, he knows what he's doing. Joe Giles Harris, Andre Smith. Now, Andre Smith's going to be suspended. You could see Spector being chosen over Joe Giles Harris. But again, where is his path? What does he do? What is his role? There's only so many times I can say, well, that guy plays special teams. You know, we all say it, and right, we know it, right, how much they care about special teams. But Tywan Jones, right? I mean, Kumerow and Hodgins and that battle that's going on. Mm-hmm. Tyler Matakevich. Like, there's only so many times that you can say that, and then sooner or later, you run out of guys where you say, well, you know what? He can make it and have a special teams role. So I'm not really sure. This team does not use three linebackers. They use two. Terrell Bernard, to me, would be the third linebacker if they go that route in a game. He's already he's shown that he can be capable of playing, you know, Mike and Will basically through camp. They've made that clear. So I don't really know where Baylen Spector fits in. I'm sure they don't want to lose him, and that's a risk they're going to have to take if at the end of the day they say we just don't have a spot for him.
And finally, Sal, the 82-yard punt. If you're punting from wherever that line of scrimmage was, I'm assuming you're okay with a touchback there, right?
100%.
82 yards 100%. To net 62 like that. That's a good outcome, right? I think we're inclined to look down as though the touchback is a mistake because you'd rather pin them deep or whatever. But when you're kicking from like your own 15 or wherever the hell they were kicking that ball from, it goes through the end zone. I think you take it, right?
I mean, the net matters a lot when you're talking about field position, when you're talking about flipping the field. It's the net field position. It was a 62-yard field position flip. I mean, that's incredible, right? And of course, and look, I know, out-kicking the coverage and all of that. We can talk about all that all we want, but it's not out-kicking the coverage when the returner literally has to turn around and sprint, even if he picks it up at the one-yard line. Like, he's got to turn around and sprint all that time it's taking him to get back and grab it and then pick it up. The coverage is moving, and it's getting down there. So out-kicking the coverage is when you can kind of back up a few steps. It wasn't that it was long, but it wasn't high, and they can catch it, and there's a ton of room in front of them. Right. In that situation, let's just play that out. If it doesn't go to the end zone, and it rolls at the 5 and the 4, and he's doing what he's doing, and he picks it up, by the time he turns around, here come two gunners anyway. And they've had all that time to get down there because it was so long and because it took him so long to go back and get it. But the flip, the other side is, it went into the end zone, and that's okay. It was 62 yards. Now, look, I was just as impressed as anybody else. There's no doubt about it. And I think Matt Araiza has certainly shown he can punt in this league, and he's probably going to win the job. But I do want to point out, you know, Matt Hawk had a punt that was only a net of 32, but downed them at the 12-yard line, which is what coaches want. And not that I'm saying they wanted it out of Araiza's punt, but I think they'd like to see him do it in a preseason game. They'd like to see him in that situation and say, hey, kid, go put it inside the 20.
Kick one high and short from 100%. The 50 or something
like that, right? I absolutely would think that they would want to see him do it, and I want to see him do it.
Yeah. The holding went well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first snap even was not really perfect, and he had to kind of scoop it up a little bit. It was on the ground, got it up. But then you go to the end of the game, and he's got to hold for a pressure kick in a game-winning situation. I mean, after the game, Matt Bove said to him, which were you more nervous for, your first punt or holding at the end of a game for a game winner? And he said basically the same. Like, yeah, that's a pressure situation. I think that from that standpoint, Bulldog, the Bills saw a lot of what they wanted to see. They saw him hold three times, two field goals, an extra point, I believe it was, or four times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the one extra point was a two-point conversion.
Yeah.
They saw him hold three times, and they saw him hold in the most pressure-packed situation you can at the end of a game for a walk-off field goal win.
Checks a lot of boxes, I hope.
That's right.
All right, Sal. What's the rest of the week here? Practice tomorrow, Friday, walkthrough, game at 1 on Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to be back on the field tomorrow. We'll hear from Sean McDermott tomorrow at 9. That's when I assume we might find out if Josh Allen or whoever else is going to play on Saturday. That's at 9 o'clock. team will be on the field at 9:30. Joel will be here for the extra point show. I'll be down. I'll talk with him from down at One Bills Drive. And yeah, Friday it looks like they are off, and Saturday's the game at home.
All right, dude. Thank you very much for this. I'm sure we'll connect to tomorrow as well. And, you know, Friday is, well, you're on every day. You know the schedule. All right. Thanks, Sal.
Okay. You got it.
That is Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. And his appearances are always brought to you by.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.